chapter 20, and I want to draw your attention this evening to the verse 11, where we read these words, "I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it." I want to speak to you tonight about the great white throne. Now, there are four things in our text that I want to draw your attention to. I don't suppose we'll get them all covered tonight. We may have to continue this theme next Sabbath evening. We'll see. But there are four things certainly in the text about this great white throne. First of all, it is a visible throne. John says, "I saw it." And then the second thing is, it is a great throne, because he says, "I saw a great throne." And then the third thing is, it's a white throne, because he says, "I saw a great white throne." And lastly, it is an occupied throne, because he adds, "and him that sat on it." So he didn't only see the throne, he saw him that sat on it. And so I want to speak about this throne then. It's a visible throne to John. John says, "I saw it." Now, practically the whole book, the book of the Revelation that is about what John saw. Very often he says, "I saw." If you want a good study or a good series of messages, that's a sort of word you could take. All the things that John saw. Well, this is one of the things that he saw. We're coming near to the end of the visions. Over 30 times he uses this expression, "I saw." And he uses it again there in the verse 12. "I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God." And then in chapter 21, verse 1 and verse 22, he says, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth." So he sees things. This last vision that he sees is the last vision concerning the old world. What he sees in chapter 21 is about the new heavens and the new earth. What he sees in the world to come, the future world. But this is the last vision that he has of this world. As it's wind up, as time ends, he sees a great white throne. So this is the last thing he sees in this world, a great white throne. That's where time began, you know, with a white throne. And God said, "Let us make man, and let us make the world." And now time is ending, and it's this great white throne again, and God is saying, "Let us judge the world." And so here we have God's throne at the very end of the world. And then the new heavens and the new earth enters in the chapters that follow it. That's what John saw. And we have to see it too. And that's why it's in the book. So that the Lord will give us the eyes of John, the Apostle John, to see it as well. And we have to be able to say, by faith, "I saw. I see a great white throne too." We have to be able to say that, congregation. And you need to be able to look through the eyes of John and see this great white throne. And we need to see it. And we need to see it by faith, because we can only see it by faith. And we need this text ingrained on our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And I tell you this, if the Lord gives us a sense of the awe and majesty of this great white throne, and if we see this great white throne the way John saw it, I tell you this, it'll transform us. It'll change us. If we see a sight of this great white throne, it'll change our lives. It'll change our action and our behavior. It'll change our very outlook. One of the greatest sights we need to get is a sight of this throne of judgment, this majestic throne. The world doesn't see it. That's why it goes on the way it does. That's why the ungodly live the way they are. They don't see it. That's why Parliament passes laws and judgments that are wicked. They don't see this white throne. But we need to see it. The church needs to see it. And the people of God needs to see it. God has given us a glimpse of it here tonight through the eyes of the Apostle John. And may the Holy Spirit help us to see it as well, just as he saw it. So he saw it. And we need to every day say, I see. I see a great white throne. I see it. You know, one day our Lord Jesus Christ stood before a throne. It was the high priest's throne. It was a stately chair. It was the Sanhedrin. And the high priest was on the judgment seat. And the Lord Jesus Christ was before him. And the Lord Jesus Christ saw that throne. And whenever on that throne, he was condemned by the high priest. He was sentenced by the high priest. But you know, whenever the Lord Jesus was before him, he saw a greater throne than that. He saw the great white throne. Even when he was before the high priest's throne, he saw the great white throne. Because he said, you remember he said to the high priest, hereafter you'll see the Son of God coming in a throne of glory, in a throne of majesty. And so he foresaw the greater throne. And that's why he was able to stand before the high priest and stand before Pontius Pilate, because he saw a greater throne behind that. And brethren and sisters, we'll be able to stand before any throne on earth if we see a greater throne, the high throne of God. So we need to see the great white throne. And remember how Peter says that the Lord Jesus, when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. When he suffered, he didn't threaten. He didn't pay them back in kind. Now, why did he not? If people were giving him a hard time, why did he not pay them back? If people were threatening him, why did he not threaten them back? Why not? You know why? Because he saw the great white throne. And Peter says, he just committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And congregation, whenever you suffer, you don't do wrong and you don't pay back in kind, but you just commit yourself to the great white throne judgment. That's what you do. And that's what the Lord Jesus did. And that's what we must do as well. And every day you have to say, I see a great white throne. I can't live like that. I can't tell those lies because I see a great white throne. I can't go to that place because I see a great white throne. That's why Joseph couldn't commit adultery. He says, I can't do this great wickedness and sin against God because I see a great white throne. He saw a great white throne, and we have to see it as well. We have to see it too. And that's why Naaman, you remember Naaman? Ahab, he was threatening Naaman, and he wanted to get Naaman to sell his inheritance, but Naaman wouldn't sell his inheritance. He says, I can't sell my inheritance. And why did Naaman not sell his inheritance? Because the commandment of God forbid him. He saw a great white throne, and that's why he couldn't sell his inheritance. And congregation, if you see a great white throne, you won't do wrong. You won't do wrong. You'll try to do right. You'll try to do good. You'll try to walk humbly. You won't take revenge. No, you'll see a great white throne. Seeing the great white throne makes doing right easier. Seeing a great white throne makes suffering easier. Seeing a great white throne puts a fear of God in you. Seeing a great white throne makes you fear God more than men. You don't care what thrones there are on earth. You don't care if it's the King of England or the Queen of England. You don't care if it's the Prime Minister. If he tells you to do wrong, you don't fear him, because there's a greater throne. It's a great white throne we need to fear. And so, congregation, you need to be able to say, I see a great white throne. You need to be able to see it every day. And it makes separating from sin easier. So on and so forth. So Christians need to see it. Paul always saw it. You remember how he was always saying things like, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. He wrote that to the congregations. He was seeing it all the time. We need to see it. I saw, and I see a great white throne. And you remember whenever he was charging Timothy, the young preacher, I give Timothy a charge. He says, I charge you, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus, who shall judge the quick and the dead. I tell you, Timothy, in the presence of the great white throne, you just preach the word. Don't you worry about anything else. Just preach the word. And I tell you that because, Timothy, I see a great white throne. And that's what you have to do. You've just to preach the word. And not only do God's people have to see this great white throne, unconverted sinners need to see it as well. They need to see that they're going to stand before God. And if you're not converted tonight, and if you haven't truly been born again, you need to know you're going to appear before the white throne of judgment. It's awesome, and it's terrible. And you need to see it now. Because if you see it literally and truly, it's too late. It's too late then. You need to see it now with the eyes of faith so that a sight of it will change your heart and change your life and bring you to repentance and to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you need to see the white throne. Do you not tremble, sinner? Are you not afraid to die in your sins? Are you not terrified that you do those wicked things and you just go on and you don't repent of them? Do you not see you're going to come before this judgment throne? You need to see it. I saw it. But not only was it a visible throne to the eye of faith, but I want you to notice, secondly, it's a great throne. He begins to describe now the kind of throne that it is. And the first thing that he says is, it's a great throne. The word's mega. It's a mega throne. Now, John's an old man. He's probably 90 years of age, maybe a wee bit older than that. And he's an old man, and he maybe can't see much physically, but whenever he's in these visions, he can see clearly. And I'm sure during his long life, he saw many a thing. And I'm sure he saw other statesman seats and high state chairs and maybe even thrones. He had been before the Sanhedrin, I know that. He'd been before the high priest. And they sat in a big stately chair in their judgment in the Sanhedrin. He'd been before governors and judges. And he'd lately been committed to exile in Patmos. So I'm sure somebody gave him that sentence from a big stately throne. Go to Patmos. You're exiled to Patmos. So John knew something about thrones and stately chairs. Remember the Lord Jesus Christ had told him, he says, along with the other apostles, he says, you'll be brought before governors. And you'll be brought before kings for my sake, he says. So I'm sure John saw many a throne. But when he saw this one, it was a mega throne. It was great. He'd never seen one like it before. He'd never seen one so majestic. He'd never seen one so glorious. Well, why does he call it a great throne? Well, I think there are a number of reasons why this is to him appearing a great throne. It's a great throne because it's the highest throne of all. God's throne is the highest because he's the most high and he's in the highest seat. So it's a great throne because it's the highest seat of all. You know, men are always striving for bigger seats. That's one thing about wicked man. They're always striving for bigger seats. And they'll knock people off their seats to have their seats. And that's just the way men are. They look at chief seats. Men want the chief seats. And sometimes they get the chief seats as well. And governors and kings, they have pretty high seats on the earth. And the prime minister and the president. But I tell you this, none of them are to be compared to this great white throne. And all kings have to come off their seats and they have to come before this great white throne. You see, whenever Parliament legislates on godly laws, as they're doing, and sometimes someday they're going to tell us, we have to do wrong, we have to do this, we have to marry the sodomites. Someday they're going to tell us that. And someday they're going to say, you can't speak out and condemn that. You know what we're going to have to do when they say that? We're just going to have to disobey them. Because we don't see their thrones whenever they come to legislate for wrongdoing. We'll see the great white throne. And it's always better to obey God rather than man. No matter how big a throne man's on, God is always on the biggest. I saw a great throne, greater than that seat that condemned me here to Patmos. I saw a greater throne than that. John saw it. That was a great throne. You know, Solomon had a great throne. It's very interesting how the Bible describes Solomon's throne. It was very grand. He made a great throne. That's what the Holy Spirit says. He made a great throne. It was a great throne that he made. A great throne made of ivory. And all those animals had been killed in North Africa. The hippopotamuses and the elephants. And they got all the ivory. And it was made of ivory. Solid ivory. Imagine a great throne made of solid ivory. And then it was overlaid with the best, mind you, the best gold. It was overlaid with the best gold. It was a great throne. It was a glorious throne. And the throne had six steps. He tried to make it as high as possible, and it had six steps. And you had to look up. And you couldn't go up those steps. The king just went up to those steps. You had to bow at those steps and be prostrate at those steps. And you had to look up at the king. It was a great throne. And on either side of the steps there were lions. 12 lions, 2 lions in every step. That was some sight, wasn't it? No wonder the Holy Ghost says he built a great throne. But I tell you this, it had only 6 steps. It was just a man's throne. That's all it was. No matter how great it was still just a man's throne. It was only 6 steps. What 6 steps compared to the highest heavens where God sits? It's nothing. And so that's why John says, there's nothing like it. I saw a great throne. It had great grandeur. Do you remember how Isaiah said it? In the year that King Uzziah died, he knew something about King Uzziah's throne. But he says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up. It was a great white throne. Isaiah saw it. And we need to see it too. And we need to see that it's great. It needs to be feared. It needs to be reverenced. And you need to look into the face of him that occupies that throne. Because we talk about his face here. The face of him that sat on the throne. We need to see the face of him that sat on the throne. When you look into his face, you'll not fear the fears of any man. No, you'll not. If you get a glimpse of the face of God, you'll not worry about the faces of men. Whether they smile at you or whether they frown at you. I saw the Lord. I saw the Lord. That's all we need to see, congregation. We just need to see the Lord. I saw the Lord. Remember how David said, the Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens. It's a great throne. He's prepared it in the heavens. And his kingdom ruleth over all. It's great because it's high. And it's great because of him who sits upon it. It obviously has to be a great throne because him that sits upon it is a great God and he's most sovereign. We believe in the sovereignty of God. We believe that the devil's not on the throne and ISIS and Islam's not on the throne and no man on the earth is on the throne. There's only one on the throne and that's the Lord. We believe in the sovereignty of God and there's nothing happens below. But the king overall is in control and he knows. He's sovereign. It's a great, great sovereign throne. And that throne reflects his greatness. God reigneth over the heathen. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. The Lord reigneth. Let the people tremble. That's what the Bible says. It's great because of him that sits on it. And then it's great because of the attendants that are around it. You know, Solomon's great throne had the lions, the symbol of power around it, and he had attendants and all the rest. But you see this great white throne? This great white throne is surrounded by cherubim and seraphim, the most powerful creatures in the universe. It's surrounded by them. And all the angels, 10,000 times 10,000. Not 10,000 plus 10,000, but 10,000 times 10,000. And thousands, that's what the Bible says. Millions and millions of angels surround the throne. And never was there a throne room like this throne. Never was there a courtroom in the universe like the courtroom of God. All the attendants, the king's judgment chamber,
is great with angels. It's a great throne. And there are other thrones there as well. Whenever you go into a great judgment hall, and it's a very special case, there's always the main judge in the middle, but there are other judges as well, and there's other thrones, and there's other very important seats. And you see in God's white throne, there's not just a white throne. There's other thrones about as well. But the white throne's the greatest of all. The Bible says, for there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. And you remember how the Lord says, you'll sit on thrones. And you remember how we say, he's made us kings. He's made us kings unto God. We'll judge angels. We'll have thrones. And so, but the great white throne is the greatest throne of all. You remember how John earlier on in the chapter said, I saw thrones. I saw thrones, he says in verse 4. I saw thrones. But now he says, oh, in the midst of them and above them, there's only one that's great. I saw a great throne. So it's great because of its attendance. And it's great because of those those that are judged that are standing before it. He sees the dead. He sees all the dead standing before it. I saw the dead, great and small. And they're all made to appear here before God. All the dead are appearing. It must be a great throne if all the dead have to come before it. It must be great if every man, it says in verse 13, every man was judged according to their works. It must be a great throne if every man is there. It must be a great throne if all the dead are there, the small and the great. And they even come up from the sea. Well, where would the lowest place on earth be where the dead can go and hide themselves? The bottom of the sea. But even from the bottom of the sea, even from the lowest, they come up to stand before this great throne. There's only one great throne. And so you see all the dead. You can't hide from God. You can go and bury yourself. You can go down to the bottom of the sea and hide yourself and think nobody sees you. You can go and push it under the thickest and the deepest carpet in the world. You can go and hide yourself in the darkest cave or lock yourself away in the darkest house. You can go and hide. But you can't hide from God. And you'll come out. You'll come out and you'll go before this great white throne. It's great because of all the people that have to appear before it. And then it's great because of all the books and all the records. We haven't time to look at all of that. But all these books and all these records and this book of life, there's so much. There never was a courtroom like it. Full of books. Full of records. It's all there. It's a great throne. And then it's great because of the judgments it makes. It makes great judgments. It makes all the judgments upon every creature that ever lived. Great judgments. I saw a great throne. But then thirdly, there's something else. He uses another adjective to describe this throne. He says, I saw a white throne. It was a great white. It was a white throne. We might think he might say a gold throne. I saw a gold throne. He might say, oh, I saw a silver throne. They're glorious. Glorious colors and glorious metals. But he says, I saw just whiteness. I saw a brilliant whiteness. There's a whiteness about it. A glorious whiteness. A brilliant whiteness. Why is it white? Because it's a pure throne. It's a holy throne. It's white because he that sits upon it is white. There's not a speck of darkness, not a speck of dirt, not one. Every judgment is white. Everything about this throne is white. It's pure white. Remember how earlier on John said, I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now, here's a horse, and it's white. And yet, it's a horse going forth to warfare, and there'll be blood, and all kinds of blood and gore scattered about upon it, but it stays white. I see a white horse, and he that goes forth making war
is on a white horse, and he's faithful, and he's true. Now, why is it a white horse? Because he's white. Because he makes war in righteousness. Because he makes war in holiness. Because if he sends men to hell, it's pure and just and holy. It's a white throne. A white throne suits him because he's the judge of all the earth who only does right. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Yes, of course. It's a great white throne, you see. It's not speckled with blood and dirt and with iniquity. It's white. The Bible says, he hath prepared his throne for judgment. He shall judge the world in righteousness. He shall minister judgment to the people in uprightness. Justice and judgment are the habitation of his throne. It's a white throne, a glorious, brilliant white throne. For he is righteous and altogether righteous and holy. Clouds and darkness are round about him. Righteousness and judgment are the habitation of his throne. God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness. Now I've heard of read, if not heard, I've certainly read some things and heard things that would make you tremble and just want to go and hide your head that you'd ever heard such things. But I've heard of wicked men who tell God what they're going to think when they see him. I even heard one man who says he's going to slap God on the face. And he's going to bring all the suffering in the world and all the people that have died and all the hardships. He's going to bring them before God and he's going to slap God on the face. Does he think so? Is he going to condemn God? No. He'll see then. That's a great white throne. There's not a taint of wrongness. Not a taint of sin about it. There's no such sinner will reprove God. But the mouths of all sinners will be stopped in the sight of God's holy law. And when the books are opened, that'll shut their mouths. That'll shut them up for good. Whenever God's books are opened in the presence of his majesty as he sits upon the great white throne. And whenever they're marched into hell and they're cast into the lake of fire in the second death. Whenever they're all cast in, there'll not be one sinner to raise his voice and say, this is wrong. No. Because all the books are there and it's a white throne. A great white throne. So the whole procedure's white. The whole books are white. The evidence and the accusations are all there and all the proof. And the sentence is just and the sentence is white. They're judged according to their works. That's how the wicked are going to be judged, according to their works. Their works will show they didn't know Christ. Their works will show they're false. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire. And that throne, when there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and anger and rage, that throne will still be white. A great white throne. Oh, it's terrifying. It's awesome. It's awesome for sinners to think about it. We need to see it. Well, what about the Christian, the true Christian? Had he not black and scarlet sins? Had he not records in the books as well? Is he not worthy to be marched off as well, to be with the damned in the blackness of his sins? There's another book there. Oh, it's a book of grace. A book of sovereign grace. It's called the Book of Life. The Lamb's Book of Life. And all that are in Christ are in that book. And they're not judged according to their works. Not in this case anyway, about hell. No. They're in the book of life. There is a reward system for faithfulness, but they're in the book of life. And people will see them going to heaven and into glory. And they say, is that rascal away to glory? How did he get the glory? And that white throne will still be white. Because that white throne justified the ungodly believer in Jesus Christ. And the blood of the Lord on that high throne was shed for the atonement for their sins. The judge has answered for the sins of his people. And so in the miracle of grace, the Lamb's people are made white. And the blood of Emmanuel has made them white. And the blood of Emmanuel has taken away all their blackness. And the blood of Emmanuel has maintained the whiteness of the throne of God. So that they who are in the book of life, and they only, they who are in the book of life, have everlasting life. It's all of grace. Sovereign, free, and pure grace. And how we should praise God that He saved us. And how we should be humble. And how we should seek to walk according to the fear of God, this humbling truth that He saved us by His grace and made us different through His grace. And we should endeavor to be faithful and manifest by our works that we're not the ungodly, but manifest by our works that we belong to Jesus and receive not judgment, but a heavenly reward. And the praise even that we talked about and considered this morning. And sinner, you need to see the throne of grace as well as the saints. And as I said earlier, you need to see it before it's too late. And you need to repent. And you need to leave your sins. And you need to find pardon in the blood of Jesus Christ. So make haste, sinner. Let a sight of this throne drive you. The true repentance, not feigned repentance, true repentance, true repentance of your sins, and true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So repent and believe the gospel and be saved.